Hello and welcome to another chapter of the Two Fat Brokers. I'm Ben from Abu Dhabi.
Barney from Dubai.
And today we are talking about how buying and selling real estate brings out the real you. Obviously, I think it's a little bit like playing a game of poker. Obviously, we don't do that here. But when there's a lot of money involved, people's true colors shine out. You find that, Bon?
I find you will always see the true person when money's involved.
Yeah. So obviously we can keep control of our emotions and let's say less desirable or maybe even more desirable traits, you know, in our general life. But as soon as money's involved and the pressure comes on, cracks start to appear and real bits of us start to leak out.
I mean, I think real estate is such a petri dish of experiences.
Petri dishes don't sound nice.
Petri or petri?
No, I mean.
Well, it's an area of concentration, right? And a concentrated area of emotions. And, you know, everybody is trying to achieve virtually the same thing. You know, for every house, there's 10 agents, you know, and everybody's vying for the opportunity and the chance to sell it. And when that opportunity comes your way, a lot of real estate agents become Gollum from Lord of the Rings.
So you're talking about how it affects real estate agents as opposed to buyers and sellers?
No, specifically real estate agents, because again, this is an industry where you eat what you kill.
No, we'll talk about buyers and sellers in a minute.
Yeah. If you don't sell anything, you don't eat. There's no salary. There's no fallback.
True.
So what happens is, rather than an individual going, that was a good sale, good for the market. It wasn't my sale. But
I'm happy for you, Barn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, a lot of real estate agents, because it's a difficult job and because opportunities are quite hard to come by, because there are so many real estate agents, really, we find it very difficult to put your hands up and go, okay, good sale, well done. A lot of real estate agents, maybe they're struggling, maybe it's their personality, will do anything to try and get that slice of the pie.
Have you seen a darker side of yourself come out?
I've actually seen a much better side of myself in competition.
Are you a better person than you thought you were?
That's a very good question. I think if I look back at myself 12 years ago, I am a lot happier with myself, and therefore I have the ability to be a lot nicer to people. Whereas before it was very much, I'm out to get the market for myself, you know. And actually I think now I can literally applaud somebody, a competitor, for selling something that I didn't, because any sale is good for the market. And I think once, you know, what is it? If you let go a little, you'll be a little happy. If you get let go a lot, you will be completely happy. There's no sense in, what is it? There's no sense in turning in on yourself and cogitating on things, right? Ruminating, you know, getting...
Thinking.
Yeah, but not just thinking, but like spending time in... When I say ruminating, mentally I have this sort of envision that you just become cloaked and you just think about this one thing to the point of obsession, because in that thinking about things, and I should have done this, and if I'd done that, it would have been better. There's little drips of endorphins that make you feel better than actually being able to assess a situation impartially. And I think, you know, if you can let go of the fact that you didn't sell that house, you didn't do that deal, you'll be ultimately a lot happier. Whereas I think, you know, because it's such a difficult industry that we're in and so competitive, people find that very difficult.
So tell us a nice story about an evil broker who can't do that, who's unable.
Oh yeah, there's the Wicked Witch, but everybody knows who the Wicked Witch is now. So
of the East or the West?
She would be north of here.
Wicked Witch of the North.
Mm. What do you mean a good story about a bad broker?
Well, so we're talking about here, you know, and we'll get on to buyers and sellers, how, you know, real estate, and let's talk specifically like money, the money involved brings out, let's say, your true self. You, the worst of you and the best of you.
Okay.
So where has money brought out the worst, for example, in a broker where they've done something unconscionable?
Okay, so again, you know, I was speaking to a friend of mine, and she has known this other broker for, you know, several years, considered them to be a friend, to the point where they agreed, they collaborated on a transaction, on a handshake, because they were friends. And transaction went through, other broker got paid. My friend then obviously messaged Mr. Broker and was like, can I get my commission now? Don't know what you're talking about. That was my commission. But we had an agreement. It was a handshake. We're friends. What are you doing? I don't know what you're talking about. That's my commission. You got yours. You were supposed to get yours from the other side. That in itself, you know, this other broker had all the cards. And that, what is it Dad used to say? Integrity is what you do when no one's watching, right? If you can be paid a commission and know that you've shaken someone's hand and that half of that commission has to go somewhere else and you just pay them, that's the right thing to do. But this other broker took it, was like, you got nothing on me. It's mine. I'll see you next time. That is the unconscionable thing that people do when money's involved.
I mean, there's an even better example of that, of two brothers who we know, who have fallen out in the past, many years ago now. Not you and me.
Oh, okay. I was like, we fall out all the time, man. You're going to have to narrow this bad boy down.
Yeah, no, two other brothers that we know, who've fallen out over, you know, let's say misunderstandings over what was agreed about commission splits and things like that.
Yes. Okay. Now I've got you. Yeah. 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 I mean, look.
Ten cuidado.
Yes. Yes. Look, I mean, you know, one of the things we always say, and you and I are brothers, we are in business together. We have contracts, right? Because for us to be in business together, you have to have things in writing, because the day will come at some point when that contract needs to be called upon, because there will be a difference of opinion. And if it ain't in black and white, it doesn't exist, right? And we have this same agreement within our company. You know, we're a collaborative company, right? So if I get a listing in, you know, let's say I get an apartment listing, I list it with Ray Verma because he's our apartment specialist, right? We have an email between the two of us, CCing in the front desk, saying this is our agreement, this is how the commission will be split, and these are the different permutations. Because if you don't have your paperwork in place, there is the opportunity for that little evil side of somebody to go, well, no, I don't remember agreeing that. We never spoke about that. No, that's my commission. That's my money.
Well, so you've got two types of that. One where the person stone cold knows they owe it and don't pay it.
Yep.
And the other one where, because there's a lot of money involved, you start to reinterpret the past. And
there you is start that. To that's human nature as
you
well.
You know, remember things differently.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, well, I don't
remember.
You
tell
that.
Yourself stories like, yeah. that give credibility to your mindset.
Yeah, the more that's at stake, the more you tend to rewrite. And, you know, and sometimes you think that people are just giving themselves excuses to do something terrible, which, you know, does happen. Actually, had a like semi-friend of mine recently, if we're going to switch over to buyers and sellers, who's a seller, agreed to sell, signed the MOU. Someone got into his ear about the price that he was selling too low. Calls me up. I want to get out of the deal. And then starts to spin a story about how the broker, you know, who's my employee, did this and did that. And all that kind of like, well, she said there was water damage, but I had it inspected and there's not that much water damage. And, you know, basically telling himself stories to justify the fact that he wanted to get out of the deal and sell it for a higher price somewhere else. And, you know, that's human nature.
It is human nature. You tell yourself the stories that you want to hear that give credence to your point of view. I mean, that is, you know, and it's amazing what the brain can do. It's amazing what the brain can convince you that has happened that hasn't actually happened, which is why obviously we always put things in writing.
But do you think then that is a reflection of who you are? Because we would all like to say, listen, I signed an MOU. Yeah, okay, maybe I underpriced it or I didn't get the market or the market's blown up, but I signed an MOU and my word is my bond and, you know, I'm going to sell
I have dealt with sellers like that, and that level of integrity it's worth so much more than the money that they would have saved.
And so are they then good people, and they're able to, you know, and then money.
What's a good person? Financially, and they're man of their word, yes. Or a woman of their word, yes. Are they a good person? I don't know, man. Do they kick puppies? I don't know. But yeah, they keep their word. I'm going to kick that puppy. Watch, bang, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would like to say it should be like proportional to how wealthy you are, right? So a really super wealthy person should be, you know, yeah, exactly. Should be like, okay, well, I gave my word. It's not that much money to me. You know, I'll go through with it. But someone who, you know, this is a huge amount of their net worth, and, you know, to make an extra $500,000 or something, you know, is massive for them. They should be the ones going, oh, I want to get out of this somehow. But it's actually not the case, really, is it? Normally it's the super rich people who are the biggest, you know.
So, okay, so problem. That then I always find, and you might have to edit this out, but that is when it becomes a dick swinging contest, right? You know, the amount of transactions, and I teach my guys how to negotiate your way round these transactions, but the amount of transactions I've seen, well, let's say the house is 50 million and 250,000 dirhams is the difference between the two, the asking price and the offer. And it doesn't happen because one of them is too stubborn. No, you need to come to me. This is my, no, you need to come to me. This is my price.
You need to take it out of the commission.
No. I'm better than you. I'm bigger than you. No. Oh, well, let's split the difference. No. I want 250,000. No, I don't want to give. It's just a pissing contest. And therein lies, because for wealthy people, money is no longer an option. Power.
No longer a
concern.
Yeah. I mean, that level.
Can I bend the world to my whim? That's more important to me. 250,000 dirhams. I don't really care. But if I could get this guy to come to me, I'm going to feel so much better. I'm going to sleep much better at night. And then we always turn around to them and go, but look, this is 0.5% of the value of your house. 0.5%. It's not about the money. Okay, fine. Just take the offer then.
Yeah. Your mate Joel was telling me about a podcast from Andrew Tate.
Obviously, I don't have any friends called Joel.
I wouldn't listen to that kind of rubbish. But he says, like, you know, when people get to a certain level of wealth, it isn't about money, it is about power. And perhaps you can see that, you know, Elon Musk being a good example. He's like so rich now, he wants political power now because he's got, you know, more money than he can ever do anything with. So, you know, you want something to make you feel good. So power, you know, does that, exerting power over someone else.
Okay, so here's a question, right? Elon Musk, do you think he set out to be the world's richest man? Do you think Bezos was like, right, this Amazon's going to make me the richest man on earth if I just focus on this? Or did they just see an opportunity and then just say, okay, well, look, there's a need, I can fill that need, and then things just grew? Or I don't think people who set out to be the richest man in the world ever make it to be the richest man.
No, they never will. No, I mean, they had a good business idea and it worked out.
If you chase the money, you'll never get where you need to go. But if you have conviction of your idea and your notions, you're going to get where you need to go and some.
Has any buyer or seller ever surprised you? You've kind of thought, oh, this guy's a complete pillock. But then actually—
A pillock is a man with one testicle, by the way.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah, pillock.
I got to 45 and heard that 1,000 times and I never knew
I remember when mum told me what twat
meant. A complete idiot. Yeah, a complete idiot.
You have to edit that.
But, you know, they've surprised you by being magnanimous or generous or you know, something along those lines. Where you thought, like, no, this guy is just going to overreact and be a complete pain. Or girl.
It's going to be... Right.
No names, obviously.
No. It just makes me sound like a bit of a pillock.
You are.
I've often found with the super wealthy, what they value most in any transaction is honesty, right? And if you, and I've ballsed up in big transactions in the past.
No.
And I get on the phone and I know I'm going to have my ass handed to me. I know it. And I get on the phone and I just say, look, Mr. Buyer, Mr. Seller, this is what's happened. It's on me because I didn't do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to fix it, but you need to know this is what's happened. And I would say 60% of the time you do something like that, they're like, okay, just make sure you fix it. If you try and hide it and they find out, you've got to get ready for the heavens to open upon you, right? So there have been moments, you know, like, okay, so I sold a property recently and quite expensive, and I was representing buyer and seller. and a new seller had already agreed to pay
me. You're not legally allowed to do that.
What?
Represent the buyer and the seller.
The lawyers were representing them. I was simply brokering in between.
Carry on.
And Mr. Seller was already going to pay me. Mr. Buyer, we hadn't really spoken about commission. And I phoned him and I was like, look, you know, Mr. Seller's already paying me, but I'm representing you two. So I'm also going to be charging you 2%. And then I just was quiet. And this guy loves to drive a hard bargain. And it was quiet. And we waited. And I waited for him to speak. And he just went, okay, thanks for telling me. No problem. And that was a surprise because I was like, I'm going to have to argue with this guy and he's a multi-billionaire and I'm just never going to, it's never going to be good and I'm going to have to like extol my virtues and this is what I've done. And he just went, yeah, fine, no problem. So yeah, there are moments where people surprise you.
Can you ever justify your commission over and above, like, you know, actually getting the buyer? I mean, does whatever you do even matter apart from I've sold your house at a price that you are willing to pay?
I guess it depends, right? So if you look at the UK estate agency model, an estate agent represents a seller and it's the buyer's job to go around all the estate agents and find the house.
Mm.
In Dubai, and I find myself on this side quite often, I'm quite frequently a buyer's broker. Don't know how it's happened. I'm good at it. I go to the market for my clients. If I haven't got what they want, I'll scoop them up. And I'd be like, right, sit here. I'm going to start feeding you properties. You know, I've understood what you want. We've sat together. We've had dinner together. Like I now know what you need. You wait there. Enjoy your glass of wine. I'm going to start finding you what you need.
Is that literally my PA could do that?
Literally, your PA probably couldn't do that because she doesn't know all of the off-market stuff that I know. Anyone could go through Property Finder. But if you've got a 400 million dirham house, they don't want that in Property Finder. There's houses that have been on the market in Jumeirah Bay, 400 million, never seen the light of day of marketing. Dubai Hills, same. We've just sold one in Emirates Hills for a serious sum of cash. Never hit the market. You have to know on the right doors to knock on to find these properties.
So there I can see
your PA
value.
Couldn't do it.
There I can see value.
I mean, in that scenario, I have represented this individual, therefore they pay me. And a broker who is representing their seller, they get paid. So that's how you justify it.
Fair enough. On the flip side, have you ever, like, so I was telling you about it, I wouldn't say he's a friend of mine, but like, you know.
He doesn't like you. Whoever we're talking about, he doesn't like you.
Someone who I knew. have you ever, like, found like a really nice buyer and seller and like, oh, they're so great and so great to work with. And they've just like, you know, soured over something silly.
Yeah, we tend to try and keep buyers and sellers apart unless you kind of have a really good a good understanding of who they are and that they would get on. We don't tend to put the two together. That's why we're here, right?
No, but I mean, if have you had a client who you thought was a really nice person and they've like, you know, tried to mess you around?
I'm sure
in a way that you thought like, wow, that's very surprising. I thought you were a nice guy. I mean, so we've had the situation between brokers, brothers grew up together, you know, but still, you know, fought bitterly to the point where they stopped talking to each other over commission.
It wasn't about commission. It was about people's position.
Sorry to interject, just on what Ben said, just to make sure you're protected. Can you just clarify that Eden had the property and then obviously you're an agent under Eden and you had the buyer, so it's not really a conflict.
Just cut it out. Just cut it out anyway. Fine. So actually, I have recently had so the last 10 days when my family have been in the UK, I have been here working and I've had arguably the worst 10 days of my real estate career, certainly in the last 5-6 years.
Worse than not selling anything?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. What I've been through, it hurts your soul. The
sounds like a story coming.
Through.
Jack and Ori.
I'll what is it? You bullet point thing? Bullet point something?
Yeah, that'll work.
I'll abbreviate it. Family that I've worked with for 10 years, lots of respect, lots of business done. Bought a house for me recently and they're now selling that house. And I introduced them to the broker. So I was their buying agent. I introduced them to the broker who was the selling agent because he's a long-standing friend of mine as well. things didn't go particularly well. The transaction went through relatively smoothly, but I dropped the ball a little. No, it's true. You know, I got my timelines
honesty,
wrong.
Honesty, there you go.
I got my timelines wrong, but I fixed it. And then there was a conversation when he was the new owner, can I rent it out for this? And I was like, it's going to be a very difficult house to rent out because it's a multi-generational house. You know, so it's two houses inside of one. And I said, there's not many families like that who want to rent in. There's not many families like that anymore anyway. And he persuaded himself that he knew people who might rent it. And then the price, I said, for the price that you want, you've got to do X, Y, and Z. The other agent went, no, we can get more. And all you need to do is wrap the kitchen. And in my head, I was thinking, this is never going to work. But I didn't say anything because I didn't want to rock the boat. And that came back to bite me on the ass because I'm then the guy who has to rent it for the price that this other agent and then the owner put in another million dirhams on top. And I didn't go, you're nuts, all of you. You're never going to get this, even though I was thinking it. That then came back and bit me on the backside because this guy now wants to sell his house. And because Barney didn't produce because I didn't open my big mouth for once, he's now said, well, Barney, I would like to give the listing to your friend who you introduced me to who works for another company because you didn't do what you said you were going to do. And I actually didn't tell them it couldn't be done. And that's on me. And now I reap the reward. And so this family that I have worked closely with for 10 years, he's given two of his listings and now a third listing to this other agent.
Who highballed you on the rent and the rap.
And did that many viewings. I did four viewings. He did that many. Because I guess from his perspective, not my client. I don't really give a shit. I don't owe him anything.
You keep your language clean, please.
I don't give a monkey's. I don't owe him anything. Uh-huh. And, you know, he sat back and has now got himself three new listings.
And in terms of honor amongst thieves in real estate, that's
cool. No, we're co-listing them. So Mr. Client, again, surprised me. Didn't surprise me because actually this guy's, you know, he's pretty cool. He is a straight shooter. He phoned me and he was like, Barney, this is what's happening. And I turned around and I was like, look, Mr. Seller, yeah, let's talk about this. And he said, no, this is a courtesy call to let you know what's happening.
I've made my decision.
I have made my decision. And that is, you know, hush, boy, get back in your box.
Yeah.
So I phoned the other agent. As I said, we've done a lot of business together. And I said, well, what's going on? And he was like, he just called me. I asked me about prices and then told me what he wanted to do. And I said, you need to tell Barney. And so, you know, if the shoe was on the other foot and I was agent B, I would have done the same thing. But anyway, we're co-listing them. So, you know, the opportunity is not lost. And actually, I see it as an opportunity to redeem myself in front of this client's eyes and do a really good job this next time around.
Yes. I mean, I think that just seems like a sensible decision by him from his point of view, as opposed to, you know, money bringing out some beautiful side to him or a monster.
A sensible business decision, but it's also one that I helped him on the path to making by not being as good as I should have been.
Not being as honest as you should have been.
I was honest. Oh, yeah, no, sorry. For the second part.
I can't rent it.
Yeah, well, that's on me. 100%.
You compounded it, ballsing it up with not being honest. You're a terrible real estate agent. You're literally the worst.
Just need one more mess up and I have the perfect trifecta.
What else could I do wrong here? Yeah. Okay, well, I think...
Anyway, hang on. Sorry. Going back to sort of how money changes you as a broker, I've noticed, because it's summertime now, I've noticed that there's a lot of brokers who are away. When the market was hard, brokers went away for maybe 2 weeks in the summer. I know guys have been gone for 2 months.
Yeah.
And that in itself, all of a sudden, you become less hungry, right?
That's you always used to deal. Complain about that when you had a company, right? Someone would do a big sale and then they'd go on holiday.
Yeah.
And then they've got to come back and start from square one.
Start from the beginning, 2 weeks off. Like you're on a roll and you've just gone away for 2 weeks. So look, I think money is one of these things that shines a spotlight. Sorry?
The root of all evil?
I don't think it's the root of all evil. I think money has great potential for happiness. But I think make someone who is not used to having money wealthy they begin to think that they begin to think differently. And I think, yeah, for you to see the true side of someone, you put money in front of them and then ask them a question, right? And everyone's got a price, right? How high is your price? Some people's prices are surprisingly low.
Last question. Are billionaires happier than the rest of us?
Billionaires have more options than the rest of us.
Are they happier?
I don't know. You'd have to ask them.
Oh, you haven't noticed.
Happiness is a chemical reaction in your brain that money doesn't change.
Isn't right? everything a chemical reaction in your brain?
Yeah.
Me sitting but here also, looking at you.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly my point. Nauseous. Happiness is a... He's such a dick. Happiness is a chemical reaction in your brain. Some billionaires are probably skipping from one room to another in their 10-bedroom mansion, down the runway, to off the plank and onto their boat. Yeah. Some billionaires wake up in the morning and go, God, can this be over? Yeah. Happiness, money buys you options, not happiness. Happiness is a state of mind.
And on that delightful note.
Are you happy? You're nearly a billionaire now, aren't you?
Yeah, I was a billionaire a couple of years ago.
Happy?
Yeah, very happy. Thanks.
Good. Well done. Congratulations.
We have been the two fat brokers. I've been Ben from Abu Dhabi.
Barney from Dubai.
And thank you very much. Like and subscribe. Still 80% of you are watching our content and not subscribing. So please subscribe.
Shame.
See you next time.